Bonnie and Clyde, model citizens, will not be broadcast tonight, so that we bring you the following program in color. CJLX, in association with Scott Henderson and Stephen Dafoe, present Dead from the Neck Up. The following program has been approved for broadcast by your local Sunday school teachers. I am their producer, Brian Dawkins.
Good evening and welcome again. I'm Stephen Dafoe.
And I'm Scott Henderson.
And together we're Dead from the Neck Up. Well, we got a good show for you in store tonight. We hope you caught last week's show, but if you didn't, I'm sure you're going to enjoy this one just as much as you did that.
I wonder who that could be.
I'll find out.
Let them know we're trying to do a radio show, for crying out loud.
All right, I will.
Anyway, we were back here in this Thursday night time slot, and we've started to receive some mail. Well, okay, one postcard and some stuff marked Dear Occupant. The postcard, however, says, Dear from the Neck Up, I really like your show and think you're even funnier than my Uncle Keith, who dresses up in women's clothing. The problem I have now is that Mom and Dad won't let me stay up late. How am I going to be able to listen to your show? Signed, Billy Batson, age 7. Well, Billy, you're not. But don't forget to brush your teeth before bed and floss at least once a day.
Geez, you know, some people just won't take drop dead, you slime-sucking pig, for an answer.
Who was that anyway?
I don't know. I think it was a shoe repair guy.
What makes you think that?
He was saying something about saving my soul.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I bought these pair of boots from him. What do you think?
Oh, hey, those are nice. They're hiking boots, you know.
You really think so?
Oh, definitely. Those boots were made for walking. Good evening and welcome to Celebrity Chat. I'm your host, Irving Thyroid. This evening, it would be somewhat of a pun to say that my guest is a super guest. My guest this evening is known worldwide as a hero and role model to millions. I'm speaking of none other than the Man of Steel. Welcome, Man of Steel.
Well, thank you very much, Irving. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us, Man of Steel, how did you get here this evening?
Well, Irving, let's see. I took a train from Metropolis to New York. Then I caught a bus from New York to Toronto. Then I was back on a train from Toronto to here. Now, of course, I took a cab from my hotel to the studio this evening.
You mean you didn't just fly here?
Oh, geez, no, I don't like to fly.
But I imagine you must fly sometime.
No, Irving, not at all. You see, I'm afraid of flying.
Well, I see. Let's talk about your upbringing, then. Before residing in Metropolis, I understand you came from Krypton?
Well, actually, Mr. Thyroid, originally I'm from Kandor.
Is that a city on the planet Krypton?
No, Irving. Kandor is a city in Illinois. Kandor, Illinois. It's about 20 miles south of Metropolis. Good farming land there.
I'm sure our listeners would be greatly interested to hear of your unusual abilities. I understand you can bend steel in your bare hands.
Oh, I can't do that, Irving. I do bend copper wire, though. It's a very pliable material.
Well, what the hell's so special about that?
Well, you see, I bend a copper wire into little animals and birds, and I sell them at county fairs and craft shows.
That's wonderful. But can you press a lump of coal so hard it turns to diamond?
Jeez, I wish I could, Irving.
What about your super hearing?
Pardon me?
I said, what about your super hearing?
No, I don't much care for herring. I like bluefish, though, a little bit of cod.
I said hearing.
Just a minute. Let me turn out my hearing aid. Okay, that's got it. Sorry, what were you saying, Irving?
Oh, never mind. Can you run faster than a speeding bullet?
No, afraid not, Irving. I don't run at all. You see, I got a game leg.
Well, then, can you leap a tall building in a single bound?
No, that would be a problem. You see, I'm afraid of heights. That's why I don't like to fly.
Well, are you more powerful than a locomotive?
Oh, I doubt it.
Well, do you have X-ray vision?
No, but my brother is an X-ray technician. He works at Metropolis General Hospital. Makes good money. Nice man. Funny, though, he never married.
Now, wait just a damn minute, you fraud. You can't fly, you can't bend steel, you can't stop a speeding bullet with your chest, you can't even see through a brick wall. And you have the audacity to call yourself Superman?
Well, I never said I was Superman, Irving.
What the hell do you mean you never said you were Superman? You sit here, like, with a big red letter S on your shirt and call yourself the Man of Steel. If you're not Superman, who the hell are you?
Well, I'm Irving. The big letter S on my shirt stands for Stuart, which of course is my name, and I'm called the Man of Steel because I have a big steel plate in my head. Here, listen.
You mean you're not Superman?
No, Raving, I'm not Superman. I'm Stuart Pasquale, the Man of Steel. I'm a copper wire artist from Metropolis, Illinois.
Well, thank you, Man of Steel. That's all the time this week for Celebrity Chat. Be sure to catch next week's show when we pose the question, Batman, Cape Crusader, or, ooh, transvestite. Where the hell do we get these guests?
But, Irving, I didn't get to show you my bird.
Welcome once again to another adventure in the continuing saga of the two dead guys.
This week we find our heroes toiling away at gainful employment as pizza deliverers in an episode we like to call
30 Minutes or It's Free.
Frassini's Pizza, Papa Frassini speaking.
Yeah, I ordered this pizza about an hour ago, and I ain't got it yet.
That's impossible. Our policy is 30 minutes or it's free. What's your name?
Albert.
Well, listen, Mr. Albert.
No, my name's Prince.
Well, listen, Mr. Prince Albert.
No, that's Albert Prince.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, here's your delivery slip. That pizza was sent out about an hour ago. You sure you didn't get it?
No, I don't think I did.
Well, I'll check on that. Maybe you got it, ate it, and you just don't remember. You know, his pizza is so goddamn good.
Maybe, but I don't think so.
Well, I'll check anyway and call you back. Schmuck.
Hey, boss, what was that all about?
Some son of a bitch says he didn't get his pizza. Hey, Tony, you would deliver a pizza to some pusty named Albert?
Albert? No, I gave that to the two new guys, Papa. I see the car out back. They're obviously here again. You want I should tell them you want to see them?
No, I'll speak to them myself. Yes, son of a dear padrino, I'm a killer, son of a bitch. Yes, guys, yes, in a big drum. We're gonna kick you out. Hey, you guys, did you deliver that a pizza to Albert? Hey, what are you, Dave? I said, did you deliver that a pizza to? Hey, what's it is? You goddamn son of a bitch. You still have the pizza in the car. What's it with you? Oh, you think it is so funny? You cost me money. What do you have to say for yourself? All right, that's it. You fired. You never work in this town again. You will insult my establishment, and you will insult me. No one does that to me. You're dead, you hear me? Dead, you son of a bitch. Tony, Tony.
Yeah, boss, yeah.
Teach these guys a lesson, will you? Take them for a ride. I gotta call that Albert guy back.
Sure thing, boss.
Santo, quente, chimpo, gomo, harpo, zeppo.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Papa Frassini. I checked with my delivery boys, and they said they delivered that pizza, and they said they were pulling away. They heard the sound like you hitting your head on something. You must have ate the pizza like I said and you don't remember.
Gee, you must be right. Thanks anyway.
You're welcome, son of a bitch.
Will our heroes ever work again, or are they destined to be cement shoe salesmen?
Tune in next week for the further adventures of
The Two Dead Guys.
This week on Comedy Ship, we bring you the comedy stylings of Jackie Mason.
Hey, isn't he the guy that gave the finger to Ed Sullivan?
Yeah, he's the guy.
Oh, he's all right.
Drop your pants, we're going sailing.
How do you do? How do you do? Certainly is a great thrill for you to see me. How are you? I really hope I enjoy the show. I am a very big star, but nobody seems to know about it. I don't know if you heard about it. Not too many people seem to know what I do for a living. But I happen to be a great performer, too. I'm not ashamed to tell you because I know my act by heart. And I can't get over it, I'll be honest with you. I tell you myself what a great performer I am because from the way I perform, you really can't tell. I don't perform that great for such a great performer. Well, that's my opening. Don't get scared, this is not my act yet. My act is not so hot. This is the best part. Watch me carefully, I got a certain system. I have a system, I start slow. But little by little, I die out completely. This is a trick that took me years to develop. You know, there was a time that I used to stink right away. Now it takes a whole night. I don't know if you heard about it. I was in show business years ago, but I quit. This is a comeback. Just to give you an idea how well I was doing at that time when I quit, do you know that I was the only person who knew that I quit? That's how good I was doing. But tonight I knew I'd be a hit as soon as I walked out. You'll ask me how I could tell, I'll be glad to tell you. As long as I'm not busy. See, I could always tell how good I'm going to do by watching the act before me. It's always good to me to follow a great act like this fellow just now. Because I'm not such a sensation myself that I could afford to follow another stiff. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I did a show last week in another place where the act before me was so terrible that throughout my performance, they kept booing him. Couldn't forget how lousy he was. Some people even walked out on him while I was still performing. Already I'm not dead. I'm very impressed. When I listen to myself, I can't get over what a good comedian I am. You know, comedians like me don't grow on trees. They swing from them. Well, you know something I was just thinking? It was like I was just saying to myself only last night. I always talk to myself because I like to deal with a better class of people. I used to talk to other people, I'll tell you the truth, but I found out half of the time they're not even listening. Before you know it, you're talking to yourself anyway. So why should I knock myself out? I cut out the middleman and I talk straight to myself. When I talk, I listen. I wait to hear what I got to say. I don't interrupt. Because I know I'm dealing with an intelligent person. You know what I mean? Other people talk, I don't even bother with it. With myself, I listen very carefully. I don't start the argument. No matter what I say, I get along, I'll be honest with you. Not only that, I'll tell you the truth, I know myself so well that if I don't like the subject, I don't even bring it up. Why should I give myself trouble? I got something stupid to say, I told it to somebody else, but them listen. The intelligent things I keep for myself. I'm one of the few people I get along with. I'll tell you the truth, when I go, I think I'll have nobody to talk to altogether. Now that I finished that situation, it's an amazing thing how I came here all the way from the east side of New York just to be here now, and as successful as I am now. You know, I come from rough circumstances. I come from a family of 14 children. 14 children, that's the truth. It all happened because my mother was hard of hearing. I'll explain it to you. You see, every night when it was time to retire, my father would say to my mother, "Would you like to go to sleep or what?" And my mother would say, "What?" And that's all right. It reached the point my father was afraid to say, "What, new?" But you see, my mother's a brilliant woman. She's a genius. After 14 children, she decided to stop. Because she found out that every 15th child born in America is an Indian. You figure the Indians don't have Jewish children, why should she have Indian children? She's no dog. A brilliant woman. I better leave out that sexy part of my act because I like to keep a show clean. Not that it would matter if I took a few chances. I noticed there's no children in the audience. Thank God. Not that I don't like children, but I'll tell you the truth, I'm not even concerned what I say in front of children. It's a sickness. A lot of adults are very concerned about what they say in front of a child, as if a child will learn something from them. Preposterous. A child only learns something from other children. Did you know that? They learn the facts of life by themselves, not from adults. They learn it through games that they themselves don't even understand. Did you ever notice how every kid in the world plays doctor? Now you think they don't know what they're doing. Why don't they play accountant?
I was Jackie Mason on Comedy Ship, the only man to flip Ed Sullivan the bird. You're listening to Dead from the Neck Up on 92.3 FM CJLX.
Welcome back to the second half of Dead from the Neck Up, 92.3 FM CJLX.
In accordance to CRTC demanded programming and in connection with CJLX, we bring you Public Access Radio. Now here's your host.
I'm Stephen Dafoe. This week on Public Access Radio, we bring you the North American debut of those friggin' British guys. This group's been ripping up the charts with their debut album, Billy Joel Meets Spinal Tap. They've decided to snap up some free public access time and give an exclusive interview. Welcome, welcome, friggin' British guys.
Those.
Pardon me?
Those. It's those friggin' British guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Welcome, those friggin' British guys.
Call us those for short.
Okay, those. I'm thrilled with your debut album. Can you tell us how you got started on your current road to success?
Well, blotto, mostly with a right ripping cut of Rosie.
And the Thames with a Westminster lorry.
Right, the Thames.
Okay, tell me, why are there three of you listed on your album's jacket when there are only two of you here today with us?
Well, Bob's your uncle, drop your cake and all that.
And he was a poofter to boot.
Right, a poofter.
I'm sorry, but I'm having a hard time understanding what you're saying. Why is it when British singers speak, you can't understand them, but when they sing, it's perfectly clear?
Oh, Piccadilly Circus to Abbey Road with Buckingham and Bellows on the pram.
And the Thames with a Westminster lorry.
Right, the Thames.
Yeah, those friggin' British guys, and you may be right.
Well, we didn't bring any instruments.
Right, well, I walked to a cappella, I guess.
Bloody piss up rock for right bloody hell.
Yeah.
Friday night I crashed your party. Saturday I said I'm sorry. Sunday came and trashed it out again. I was only having fun, wasn't hurting anyone, and we all enjoyed the weekend for a change. You may be right,
or may be crazy,
but it just might be a lunatic you're looking for.
Did you get a load of them limeys, eh? What a bunch of mumbling hoses.
Yeah, eh? Bet they can't tell salt pork from back bacon, eh?
Yeah, eh? Give me Stompin' Tom Connors any day.
I was wondering if the fans rock and roll in foreign lands, so my aeroplane and me flew around the world to see.
And now news that's dead from the neck up.
Leading off our top story, Superman has been seriously injured. Reports have it that he came too dangerously close to a chunk of kryptonite. It seems he was unable to detect it concealed in Tonya Harding's lead pipe. In a related story, the Flash has been arrested for non-payment of speeding tickets.
In sports, Toronto's football team has been purchased by actor Jason Priestley. We wish the best to Jason and the Argonauts.
This just in, Superman is dead again.
The weather for today? Whether you like rock and roll or whether you like country, Stompin' Tom rule.
Yeah,
it must have heard old Santa say the jingle jangle all the way, because now it's in the Hall of Fame, a jingle jangled aeroplane.
Spanning the globe each week to bring you the weird, the bizarre, the insane. It's Wally Wonderliz, things you just don't see on radio.
Buenos dias, that's right. This week we're in sunny Acapulco, the land of tortillas, tacos, and ptomaine poisoning, to attend the first annual celebrity cliff diving. The stars are here today in profusion, some in Speedos, for what promises to be an amazing, death-defying, breathtaking, neck-breaking, panoramic front row view of a truly underrated, uncalculated, inundated, overinflated spectacle of an event that the natives here call Loco Magnifico, which translates as magnificently stupid.
The diving has been going on here all morning, and they're just getting underway with the finals. Look, there's the great Raquel Welch making her way to the cliff's edge. Just look at that form, and her diving technique's not bad either. It looks like she's gearing up for a double gainer with a twist. No, it looks like she's going to leave that slice of lemon behind. Oh, and there she goes! Oh, and what a beautiful dive! And there's a score. Let's see, it's a 36-24-34. Whoops! That's a 3, a 6, a 2, a 4, a 3, and a 4, giving her a total of 22 out of a possible 36. Oh, a disappointing finish for Miss Welch. Next up, it's Jason Priestley. Jason's a newcomer to these games, afraid of water, afraid of heights, but a real trooper. I admire the way he grins and bears it as he opens his wallet to pay his stunt diver. What Mr. Priestley lacks in courage and talent, he makes up as a sporting employer. Let's see if we can't hear what's going on over there in preparation for the dive.
Well, Mr. Priestley, what type of dive do you want me to perform for you this time?
The pressure this event places on the celebrities. Well, there he goes. It looks like a beer barrel polka with a full turn and a half twist. What an amazing choice, and he's off. Absolutely stunning, and look at that score, a 35. This leaves little hope for our last competitor, that great actor Michael Douglas. Michael has to execute a perfect dive to get that perfect score of 36 if he's going to walk away with the cup. I see his father, the legendary Kirk Douglas, is by his son's side giving him some last-minute pointers. Again, let's see if we can get a little closer and get a few words from Kirk. Kirk, Wally Wendelier with Things You Just Don't See on Radio. I was wondering if you'd like to give our listening audience a few words of how you feel your son has done today. Mr. Douglas is making his way to our microphone. Please, please, Kirk, watch out there. You're getting caught up in the microphone cable. Oh, what a catastrophe. Mr. Douglas has tripped and plummeted over the side of the cliff. This glorious spectacle has ended in a fatal... Wait, no, he's all right. We've gotten word from below that Kirk Douglas has survived the fall unscathed, and look at that score, a 36. Truly amazing. This makes Kirk Douglas today's top competitor, but wait, what's this? No, Kirk Douglas has been disqualified. Let's see if we can get a word from the official. Mr. Official, Wally Wendelier with Things You Just Don't See on Radio. Why the disqualification? Is it because Kirk Douglas dove in his son's place?
No, senor. We always allow for last-minute substitutions.
Then why the disqualification?
Well, senor, we took one look at Mr. Kirk Douglas's chin and immediately disqualified him. This event is celebrity cliff diving, not celebrity cleft diving.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, an amazing upset at the celebrity cliff diving here in sunny Acapulco.
Mr. Priestley, that means I won. Is that $1,000, Mr. Priestley? You won, Mr. Priestley, you won.
Well, that's all for me this week. This is Wally Wendelier saying adios and sunny Acapulco. Until next time when you find me at the Caver and Loch Ness Shit Chip Toss Games in Bunny Bunny, Scotland. See you then.
Time for every neighborhood pal, Stan the Welcome Mat Man.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown.
Hey-ho to all our listeners out there. This is Teddy the Topless Dancer, the lovable and partially nude sidekick of Stan the Welcome Mat Man. Unfortunately, Stan couldn't be here this evening as he developed a boil on his ass. But he asked me to take over the show this week because we have a special guest, Murray the Mailman. Hey-ho, Murray.
Hey-ho to you, Teddy. It's nice to be here. Too bad about Stan and the boil on his butt. I get corns on my feet, but I never had no boil on my butt before.
Yep, poor Stan. I never had no boil on my butt neither, but I've had them there hemorrhoids, and they taste piles of trouble. Anyway, Murray, enough about Stan's backside, as I'm sure he's in a lot of pain, being as how he's got a big pussy goyer on his tuchus. So tell us, Murray, how long have you been delivering the mail?
Well, Teddy, I've been a postal worker since 1979, right after the Three-Year War.
Wait just a minute there, Murray. I hate to disagree with you and all, but there wasn't no war in the late 70s.
Well, Teddy, it was a private war in a small South American country. I was collecting the cheese back in those days, still strung out from chemical lifestyle from the early 70s. Anyhow, I sees this ad in Soldier of Fortune magazine for mercenaries. Next thing you know, I'm in Cucarachas, Venezuela, bare naked on a water tower with a MiG-16 picking off villages.
So after the war, how'd you come to get a job at the post office?
I filled out an application and they hired me.
You mean the post office will hire ex-gun-toting psychopathic mercenaries?
It's happened before, Teddy. It's happened before.
I suppose so. So, Murray, many of our listeners is curious as to how old Stan, who's laid up with a boil on his arse, by the way, can know so much about people in the neighborhood. Well, folks, it's contacts, contacts. And one of those contacts is my friend, Murray the Mailman. And, Murray, I understand you brought along some mail that got accidentally mislaid.
That's right, Teddy. In fact, the first mislaid piece of mail is for Mr. John Thomas. It's from his doctor.
What's it say, Murray?
Dear Mr. Thomas, the results of your test are in. I regret to inform you that you have contracted chlamydia. Signed, Dr. Stubbs.
Ooh, chlamydia. Well, that's what you get for eating clams.
You don't get chlamydia from eating clams, Teddy. It's a sexually transmitted disease.
More like bearded clams, then. Oh, well, that Mr. Thomas ought to keep his rascal rap. Chlamydia, chlamydia, how do I get rid of you? What else you got, Murray?
Well, Teddy, I got a registered letter to Tom and Mary Teetsup.
Well, go ahead, Murray, read it.
It says, Dear Mr. and Mrs. Teetsup, unless you pay the outstanding balance on your mortgage, we will be forced to foreclose on your property at 72 Boyle Street.
Hey, Boyle Street, that's a pretty nice neighborhood. Many's the coupon book we've dropped in dadhood. And truth be known, the old Ted Mice has done a few private parties there. Well, folks, looks like Mr. and Mrs. Teetsup is going Teetsup. I smell a distress sale and a real deal on some prime real estate. Put in your offer now, unless, of course, you're a Duke, Spike, Cagle, or Thespian. We don't need no more Thespians in the neighborhood like that Mary Jane weirdo and her wife, Butch. Anyhow, Murray, I guess you got one letter left.
Yes, Teddy, this one is for you. I didn't bring it yesterday to your house because I knew I'd be here today. It's from Stan.
My old pal Stan, who couldn't be here today because he's got a huge boil on his arse. You read it, Murray.
Okay. Dear Teddy, good luck with the show on Thursday. Say hello to Murray, and whatever you do, don't say nothing about the boil on my ass. Hey-ho, Stan.
Oh, geez. Well, that's all the time for Welcome That Man. Our guest today has been Murray the Mailman, and I've been Teddy, the top with Stantia, filling in for Stan the Welcome That Man, who's homesick in bed with a cold.
Gentle people will
Jeez,
never
Jeez, Murray,
ever
I wish you'd
let
brought me that
go.
Letter yesterday.
Sorry, Teddy.
That's our time.
We've been dead from the neck up.
And you've been listening.
Thanks. This week's show has been brought to you by
That Would Hurt.